From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's a topic he's tried to avoid but has been forced to confront head on. This morning, Barack Obama came out in full force to talk about race in America and his long-term association with his pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Was he able to mend the broken fences? For more, we have Sherilyn Eiffel. She's a civil rights lawyer and she teaches at the University of Maryland School of Law in Baltimore. Plus Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Welcome.
Thank you, Farai.
Thanks for having me.
So this was a huge day for Barack Obama. I'm going to start with you, Sherilyn. What was your first reaction to the speech?
I have to tell you, Farai, I think it was a huge day for America and for American politics because Barack Obama decided to walk right into the center of what I think many must have advised him to avoid and have advised him to avoid over the last few weeks. And he essentially offered something of a workshop on race in America. And I think he offered it up in all its complexity. It's a big bite out of the sandwich that he offered today, and I hope that people will begin to take it in small parts. It's probably a bigger bite than most of our news media are able to deal with, you know, that cover political campaigns. So I suspect that a good portion of it will get bitten too small and will be distorted. But he really took it from soup to nuts. This wasn't just about his relationship with his pastor, but it was about the very difficult walk or the complex walk that many of us, that all Americans have around this question of race. It's filled with contradictions. It requires our compassion. It requires our acceptance. And he really spoke to all of that in a way that I think was tremendously eloquent and very, very important. Politically, I think it's going to be difficult for people to parse it, but I think it was a tremendous moment for him.
Let's listen to a portion of the speech addressing his relationship with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
Did I know him to be an occasionally fierce critic of American domestic and foreign policy? Of course. Did I ever hear him make remarks that could be considered controversial while I sat in the church? Yes. Did I strongly disagree with many of his political views? Absolutely. Just as I'm sure many of you have heard remarks from your pastors, priests, or rabbis with which you strongly disagree.
Ron, is this contradictory in any way to what Senator Obama has been saying this week?
I think it's contradictory to a certain point, Farai. Earlier in the week, or at least late last week, he said that he had been unaware of some of the controversial statements that the minister had made, and he came out this morning and said, well, when I was there, did he make some comments that were controversial? And the answer is yes. I think we'll open the door to many questions, and Senator Obama has certainly not put this issue behind him. But let me take a moment to agree with my colleague. I think Sherilyn's right on so many different levels in her interpretation of this speech. Regardless of your race, regardless of your party affiliation or where you come at this, I think this is going to be a speech that we're going to look at similar to Senator Kennedy when he was running for the presidency and he had to make a major race dealing with his Roman Catholicism. I think historians and Americans are going to look back on this speech and say there was an African-American man at the podium who was addressing important issues of race. And just from the beginning of his speech, Farai, when he talked about we hold these truths to be self-evident, I think that Senator Obama came out and attacked this issue head-on. He was very engaging. There's certainly a lot that critics on the Republican side of the aisle will find fault with. But again, as I said from the start, regardless of where you come from on this issue, I thought it was a remarkable speech and one that's going to be talked about for a good many days to come now.
And Sherilyn, what about the symbolism of him speaking in Philadelphia at the National Constitution Center?
I was just there last weekend at a conference, and it's an amazing building and an amazing exhibit there. And I can only imagine, I wasn't there for his speech, what it was like for him to speak in that place, which is really devoted to looking at the creation of the Constitution, the framers of the Constitution. I think it was perfect because what Barack Obama was trying to say today was he was trying to describe the American condition on race and on faith, I think, also. And he squarely put himself there as an American with all of the complexity that can be involved in being an American. He talked about his own very complicated racial history in his family. He talked about his church. He talked about the black church and what the black church is like. And the part you just did the clip of where he talked about sitting in the pew and hearing your pastor say something you disagree with. I think that rings true for many Americans of faith. I think that rings true for many Catholics who consider themselves good Catholics and who support their parish priests, but don't agree with many of the things their priests say about gays or about women or about not taking birth control. I think it's true for African Americans. If we're going to talk about controversial things, many African Americans in the Black Church sit in the pews while things are said about homosexuals, while things are said about people of different groups and so forth. And I think that he really spoke to that, that it's about engaging and, yes, trying to change from within. But he said he couldn't reject Jeremiah Wright any more than he could reject the Black community or his white grandmother, who he's heard utter racial epithets.
Now, Sherrilyn,
this was amazing.
Let me jump in because we do have a little bit of Senator Obama talking specifically about that section, about his white grandmother.
Yeah. I can no more disown him than I can disown my white grandmother. A woman who helped raise me, a woman who sacrificed again and again for me, a woman who loves me as much as she loves anything in this world, but a woman who once confessed her fear of Black men who passed her by on the street, and who on more than one occasion has uttered racial or ethnic stereotypes that made me cringe.
Ron, is this a situation where some white voters in particular who might have shied away from Barack Obama after the discussion about his pastor will listen to what he's saying in this very specific personal anecdote and walk away with a different perspective?
I do. And I think this speech has a double-edged sword for Senator Obama at this point. He has thus far been able to transcend race. The reason that he is leading the Democrat ticket for the President of the United States is that he is very emotional, he is very eloquent, and he has set out a vision of change that many Americans have grasped onto. He's motivated the young people, and they say this is the sort of voice that we want in Washington, D.C. But this is where the double-edged sword is. The double-edged sword is that many people are looking at Barack Obama as a candidate and as a phenomenon and not looking at him as Barack Obama, Black man running for president. Now he's put the issue of race squarely on the table, which he had to do, and perhaps, and this still remains to be seen, many of those voters who supported him previously who thought he was an element of change, we might now find them delving a little bit deeper into his racial identity, into his racial past, and particularly those two items from the speech that you mentioned, talking about his grandmother and how he could no longer disavow her, or he could not disavow her any more than he could his preacher, people would say, well, wait a second. It's harder to disavow someone due to their bloodlines to you, but you can cut ties with someone due to controversial statements. So again, it will remain to be seen, but unfortunately or fortunately for Barack Obama, race is now injected as a serious element of this presidential campaign.
Sherrilyn, Ron mentions the double-edged sword. What about the double-edged sword of pleasing Black and non-Black voters? Do you get the sense that Black voters want one thing from Barack Obama? Loyalty, identification, shared history, shared culture, and that white voters and non-Black voters in general want something different. Racial openness, willingness to forgive the past, perhaps. I mean, is this just fundamentally a clash of perspectives?
You know, I think Ron is right in the sense that it remains to be seen, but I think if anybody laid down the gauntlet for having the best of both worlds, he did it today, because he said, I could no more disavow Jeremiah Wright than I could the Black community. So that was the embrace. But I think where he switched it up at the end of the speech, first of all, he began to talk about the ways in which whites also have their conversation about race. So he really did not only an unmasking of what the walk is like for Black Americans, but also an unmasking of what the walk is like for white Americans, particularly ethnic whites. And that's who he was speaking to, who say, you know, we have nothing to do with this, and we're suffering as a result of affirmative action, et cetera. So he unmasked that, and then he said, all of this is a distraction. This time, let's talk about the issues. And that's where I think he really switched it up to say, I don't want to just appeal to your emotion. I want to talk about the issues that actually unite us. And I thought that was masterful at the end. Now, will people be willing to buy it? I think it's right for him, and I think it was entirely appropriate for him to say, here's the moment. I'm offering it to you. You know, is America going to accept it or not? But I'm offering you the chance to do this in a way that doesn't go to the stereotypes and the distractions. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see, particularly with the upcoming Pennsylvania primary, you know, whether the message can sink home for all Americans. But I definitely think he spoke to both groups in ways that are quite appealing, but very honest.
Now, I want to ask you guys if you can stay with us. We've got a couple more minutes on the clock now, but can you stay with us after our break?
Of course.
Sure.
Fabulous. So, Ron, this is going to be a short one. Do you think that the issue of issues being put on the table, that, you know, let's talk about the issues now, is that something that people are going to resonate with, or is this conversation going to continue more on symbolism and history?
No, this is going to be on symbolism and history. This race on the Democratic side of the ledger has never been about issues. Senator Obama and Senator Clinton agree so much on health care, education, their views on the war in Iraq, and it's never really been an issue of whether Senator Obama has a different plan or a better plan than Senator Clinton. It's that he has been an element of change and that she has portrayed herself as being the experienced, wise hand at the till. What remains to be seen now moving forward is, will Senator Obama's attempt to shift this to be an issue of issues or a campaign of issues, will he succeed in that, or will this speech today merely reinforce the symbolism between both of those candidates?
This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We are continuing a conversation about race and the race, race and the presidential election. Barack Obama came out today to talk about his long-term association with his pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, some conflict over racial issues that some perceive that his loyalties are torn. We've got Sherrilyn Ifill, civil rights lawyer. She teaches at the University of Maryland School of Law in Baltimore. And Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators, former special assistant to President George W. Bush. I'm going to jump right back into this because it strikes me, particularly as we are a day away from the fifth anniversary of the war in Iraq, that loyalty, the concept of loyalty, who you are loyal to as a politician, as a citizen, as a person who believes, is one of the big questions that is raised here. Ron, do voters need to feel that, above all things, that a black man running for president is loyal to America as a whole and not to black America?
I do. I think this is the same thing that Senator Kennedy confronted back in 1960 when people thought that if he were elected president of the United States that he would somehow fall prey to the whims and the wishes of the Vatican rather than swearing to uphold the Constitution of the United States. I think Senator Obama finds himself confronted with an electorate, candidly, that's not quite sure which way his loyalty is. Is he loyal to his church? Is he loyal to his constituency? Or is he loyal to his country? And I think Senator Obama's speech today took a very important step of not only demonstrating that his loyalties are to the United States government, but he spoke so much about our history and so much of our racial identity that we've sought to overcome as a country that I think that he made a very important step in establishing that, yes, he is a member of the African-American community, and that community is important to him, but also equally as important, he is proud to be an American. He said that he loved his country and that he found his salvation in our strength as a nation. So I thought it was a very, very important speech and very important remarks for him to have made today.
I'm going to ask you this, Ron, first, and then Sherrilyn. Does this change any dynamics in the race for the presidency? Do you think that, I mean, it's a crystal ball question, but do you think that in the end this will lift Barack Obama's fortunes or depress them, that even talking about this could be dangerous?
Too soon to be said. I think there was a new Quinnipiac poll that came out today that showed Senator Clinton having a commanding double-digit lead in Pennsylvania. I'd certainly like to see the polling over the next 48 hours. What was the real barometer? What was the real sense across the country of Americans who perhaps tuned in to listen to Senator Obama talk about racial issues for the first time head-on? How did they feel? How did he make them feel? I think it's a little too soon to be said, but I think this is one of the defining moments of his candidacy. If he can put this issue away from him and he can continue his lead with the pledged delegates, he will be the delegate for President of the United States on the Democratic side. If, however, on the other hand, that people are a little turned off by his comments and his views, that will give Senator Clinton another opening and another reason for her to say to the electorate, I'm the one who can beat Senator McCain. So it's going to be very interesting how this plays out.
Sherrilyn?
I think two things. One, I think it can only advantage him to have kind of taken the bull by the horns on this, because the reality is that he is a black candidate, and this was going to happen. That is, the confrontation over, you know, where do your loyalties lie, you know, is he black enough? How black is he? All of that stuff. What's going to happen? Either it was going to happen now while he's trying to get the nomination on the Democratic side, or it was going to happen if he was the nominee in the general election contest. And so I actually think there's tremendous advantage to a black candidate walking towards this issue instead of trying to run away from it. So I think that's an advantage. But I think a lot's going to depend, I hate to say it, on what bites of this the media takes over the next 48 hours. I think most people, working people, will not have heard the whole speech. And unless they go back on C-SPAN or some other network and find the whole speech, they're only going to hear the parts that are offered up by the media. Even at the top of the hour when NPR did the snippet, they did the part about I couldn't reject right any more than I could reject the black community. They didn't include the part about the white grandmother. You included that, Farai, on your show, but it wasn't in the news clip. So it depends, I think. You know, Ron was talking about the next 48 hours. I think he's right, but it all depends on what pieces of this the media decides to put front and center over the next 48 hours. In its entirety, it's masterful, and I think would be tremendously appealing across the board. The problem is most people, many people who are going to be voting, for example, in Pennsylvania, will not have heard the whole speech, will not have been able to take in all of the dimensions, and as I said at the top, the complexity of it, which I think you really need in order to get the full measure of it.
So well, I do want to
depend on media treatment.
What I do want to throw in is that our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, does have the full text of the speech, and so we definitely want to hear from people over the course of the coming days as to what they hear, what they think about it. And I think the blogosphere is one of these places where we're going to see a lot of that opinion bubble up very quickly. Ron, when you think about this moment in American history, everyone, you know, certainly as a political reporter, you want to say, okay, well, what's going to happen in history? And history is not written until the moment happens. But regardless of whether or not Barack Obama wins the nomination for his party or the presidency, will this have fundamentally changed the nature of politics in America?
Absolutely. This is the first time that you have had a legitimate candidate for president of the United States who happens to be African-American, who not only has a shot to win his party's nomination, but to actually be the individual occupying that chair in the Oval Office at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I think Senator Obama's candidacy has forever changed the way that we look at where African-American politicians are able to reach for, to aspire toward, and to run for. He's a senator from a major state. He's a candidate running for president of the United States. Again, as I said from the top, I think that this speech will be analyzed and dissected for generations to come, certainly looking all the way back to Senator Kennedy and his important speech in 1960. Senator Obama as an African-American candidate has forever changed the landscape of politics in the United States.
Well, Ron and Sherrilyn, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
We've been speaking with Ron Christie, the vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators, also with Sherrilyn Ifill, a law professor at the University of Maryland. You can go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, to read Obama's full speech and tell us what you think.